If you have your Bible nearby, I would highly recommend that you just open it somewhere near the back, and we'll turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 just now. But if you have one of those cool Bibles, you could just put your finger in it and go there, go ahead. I must say that I really enjoy this time of the year. Don't you? It's like everything's new, hey? What I enjoy the most is hearing people's lists of New Year's resolutions. So, let's share them. Come on. Losing weight. Losing weight, yes. Yeah, and your hubby's also done that because him and I see each other in gym every Tuesday and Thursday. It's lacquer, yes. Come on, anybody else? I know you've got lists. Come on, you're in church. Just share. Be a bit more calmer. Okay, that's good. That's good. Come on, anybody else? Okay, who's like, I didn't make a list? That's okay. Well, no wonder you guys are so quiet. Let's just move on. But the reason I really enjoy kind of the end of the year into the beginning of the year is for myself and for Janine and soon for the little one. Although I don't think he'll be able to say anything. I don't know, parents, for like the first year or anything. I don't know. We'll figure this out, I guess, as we go along. But we spend like the last couple of days of the year and the first day or two of the new year in quite deep reflection, where you look back at the year that's just flown by and we're quite grateful for some of the good stuff that's happened. But last year was quite a hectic year for Janine and I, where in June, July, we were like, is she going to live? And then in August, she's like, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, so we go literally from, you know, like, in the mine shaft to cloud, I don't know what it was, in a matter of a couple of weeks. But we had quite a bit of processing that needed to be done at the end of last year. So there were a lot of things that we were grateful for. But we also then shared some things that we were sad for, some of the good that happened, some of the mistakes that we had made, and kind of used it as a time of repentance and that kind of thing. And then we ask the Lord, and we say, okay, it looks like you've given us another year to live, which is fantastic, thank you. But Lord, what do you want us to change so that we can have a different conversation at the end of 2017? And then we try and make a list. And hopefully, you know, we kind of stick to the list and we put the list up on the fridge or like in the bathroom mirror, you know, just to remind ourselves to try and work on the two or three things that the Lord has clearly shown us to do. And then hopefully by the end of the year, we can all go tick, 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 it's all done and we are just so much better. And then we do the whole thing again and then at the end of our lives, I've got a six pack unwrapped, you know, not in the cooler bag, and you know, I've got guns the size of Arnold Schwarzenegger, and my lattes are like, yeah, dad's nice and strong. Let's just hope that happens. But I think we can assume that most of us try and do something similar, where we're always trying to improve ourselves, improve our lifestyles, and I think that's a good thing. But this morning, I would like us to ask a different question. Instead of asking what is your New Year's resolution, maybe this morning we need to ask God, what is His New Year's resolution for us in 2017? And I believe that 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 could possibly give us the answer to that question. What is God's New Year's resolution for us? So let's turn together to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're just going to read verse 11 and 12 together. If you're there already or you've scanned the code on the bulletin and Bible apps open, that's fantastic. Let's read it together. Verse 11. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of His calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by His power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just that far. And I'd encourage you to just keep that Bible open, because every now and then I'm going to refer back to a verse and you might want to just skim read over it again. But as we start unpacking this text together, it says, to this end we always pray for you. Now, we just want to say that this is a prayer that Paul wrote for the Thessalonian church, and that prayer is our prayer for you, Durban North Baptist Church, for 2017. That by God's grace, may this prayer be fulfilled in our lives, in our families, in our church this year. Amen? Amen. So let's unpack it together. Remember, we're answering the question, what is God's New Year's resolution for us? Verse 11 reads, that our God may make you worthy. And in order to fully understand what this means and what God may do in our lives in the future, we first got to fully understand and know what He's done for us in the past. And some of the other translations help us understand this a lot more when they use the words, God counted you worthy. Counted you worthy. Now, what does that mean, you might ask? And I think the best way to explain this is just to use a very simple illustration. Now, when you and I were a bit younger, most of us played games that require team sports or team selections. Where generally you have two captains, and they're generally the biggest guys with the biggest guns, and they're the guys, and they pick the team members. And whenever those captains were picking the teams, they would count you worthy to be part of their teams. And obviously you didn't want to be the one picked last, but mostly in primary school, I was that guy because I was well-rounded. And they were like, that guy's never going to run anywhere. We'll never pass him the ball except we want to run a crash ball. They're like, give the ball to Jan because no one's going to tackle him because they don't want me to fall on top of them. But anyway, that's how it happened. But we all wanted to be part of the team, and so the captain would count you worthy. Or in other translations use the word deemed. Deemed you worthy. Those words have got such depth, don't they? It shows a sense of careful consideration and makes you feel at home like never before. Well, that's exactly what God offers every person in this world. He makes every person worthy through Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation by His death and resurrection. And now you and I, who would never even be considered for God's team, we would be benched forever because of our sins and all of our shame. You and I are considered, are counted, are deemed worthy because of Jesus Christ. We are now considered part of God's team. If we believe in and accept the gift of salvation, we are counted worthy. We are completely justified by Christ because all of our unworthiness, all of our sin, all of our shame has been nailed to the cross of Calvary. And now we can completely be qualified for God's team. We can be counted worthy because of what Jesus Christ did for us in the past. And so when this verse says, may God count you worthy, you can know that He has counted you worthy. He has counted you worthy. All of it's been nailed to the cross of Christ. So God says to us, Paul, Jill, Mike, I have counted you worthy because of my Son, Jesus Christ. If you believe in what my Son has done for you, know that I have counted you worthy. And from this day forward, I will make you worthy of the gift you have received by my sanctifying work. We've got to know and understand what God has done. We've got to accept that gift. And then from this day forward, God will make you worthy of the gift that you have so freely received by His sanctifying work. Remember, He has wiped away all the sin, all the shame. And if you would accept His gift, that's the good news. Our God is very different to any other God out there. Our God wipes away all of your past sin and shame. He declares you worthy, part of His team, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, He is actively involved in your present and your future, if you will allow Him to. That's the good news. From our text this morning, not only did God count us worthy of salvation, but He counted us worthy to become part of His calling, to become part of His plan for this world. And so from our text, once again, this calling is to fulfill every good desire and work of faith that God has placed on your heart. Now, for some of us here today, every good desire could be to be a good husband or a good wife, a good father or mother, a good son, they're not listening. Yeah. A good son or daughter. A good student. A good employee or good boss. These and many more are all good desires. And if that's your good desire this morning, know that God is calling you to fulfill that good desire by His powerful work in your life. And friends, God wants you to succeed. He really wants to fulfill whatever He has called you to be. But as we read in our text this morning, it's not just being called to be somebody, a faithful husband, a faithful wife, a good employee. It's also being called to do something, a work of faith. Now, we've got to be very careful here. It's a work of faith. It's not a work out faith. It's a work of faith, not a work out faith. You and I can't work our way into the book of life. We can't earn our salvation. Remember, God has already counted you worthy. He's given you that gift. You are part of His team. So it's a work of faith. So as a team member, when we work for the Lord, it's out of gratitude. It's not to earn our salvation. It's not out of obligation. It is out of gratitude that we go, yes, Lord, You have called me to become a principal at a local school, a teacher, a business leader, a mom at home. So do it faithfully out of gratitude. For some of us, to go out there and work for the Lord out of gratitude, that might completely rock your boat, because part of that work might entail you to tell somebody that they are counted worthy, to tell somebody the good news about Jesus Christ and His gift of salvation. And if you're not an extrovert, or that's just not your thing, public speaking, it might completely rock your boat. You're like, yeah, no, I'll do the being part. I'll be the good husband and wife, but I ain't working nothing. Don't worry, friends. I know sometimes it's our desire to do that, but we sometimes feel ill-skilled or ill-gifted. There's this wonderful verse in Colossians chapter 3:17 that I believe completely liberates you, takes you off the hook a little. Hey? It says this: whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This text liberates us that whatever we do, in words, either going out on a soapbox, do we still have soapboxes? Going out on a soapbox on the corner of McCurtain and Beachway and preaching the gospel and saying, you guys need to be saved. You know, maybe we should just make a banner as well. I don't know. But you saw that banner. Yes, we should make a big banner. Just go do the stuff in word. But for some of you, you're like, that's not me. I'm not going to grab your megaphone, Jan, and go and preach the gospel. But I want to go and do things. Maybe even do things in the background. Maybe just make a box of muffins and give it to those in need every Friday. This text liberates us that as long as we speak and do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are counted worthy of the calling that God has placed on our lives. We're part of God's team. And so if we apply this to every aspect of our lives, our occupation, our relationships, our families, our hobbies, God's answer is whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it in my name. And I believe that there's complete synergy between that text, Colossians 3:17, and verse 11, going into verse 12 of our text this morning. It reads this: that our God may make you worthy of His calling and may fulfill every resolve for the good and every work of faith by His power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Friends, our God will fulfill every good resolve for the good and every work of faith by His power. Now you might ask, what does every resolve mean? In the NIV, it says, it translates it to the word desire, every desire. The New King James Version says every pleasure. But I think the NLT will help us in this verse. It reads as follows: may God give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. May our God give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Now, I must caution us here. This isn't a blank check. I'm sorry to burst the prosperity gospel a little, but it's not that at all. This isn't our desires, our dreams. This is the good desires and dreams that God has laid on our hearts through a faithful relationship with Him, through His Word, through prayer. Therefore, friends, whatever we have resolved to do or to change in this year, whatever New Year's resolution we have chosen, God is saying that He has resolved by His power to fulfill, to accomplish every good thing that our faith, our relationship with Him has prompted us to do. So if the Lord has prompted you to exercise this year and kind of look after the temple of the Holy Spirit, may your exercise bring glory to God. If the Lord has prompted you this year to study another degree or to read that book or to finish that book and grow your intellectual capacity, may it be done to the glory of God this year. If God has prompted you to manage your finances better this year, may it be done to the glory of God. And you might ask, how do I do that? Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the going gets tough in July and September, then our text this morning gives us the final assurance of God's resolution for us. You see, God is so committed to you. He is so committed to me because His name and His glory must and will be seen by all in the entire universe, to the extent that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Lord of all. That is God's mission in this world, to glorify His name and the name of Jesus Christ. And so when you are called by God this year to exercise, God will help you fulfill that with a little nudging of the Holy Spirit at 5:30 in the morning. Jan, get up. Get up, Jan. Jan, you're going to miss the class. I hope they should start charging us for missing the class, because then I'll definitely be there. Hey? But He will nudge you. When you see that book or the Bible on that bedside table, the Holy Spirit will nudge you. Jan, you committed this year to finish that book, to read the Bible, to pray every day. He will nudge you because it's His desire to fulfill the resolves that He has decided for you this year. Why? Because His name needs to be glorified in all the earth, and every knee needs to bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And isn't it amazing that He has counted you worthy to be part of that plan, to go and preach the gospel, either in word or in deed, by the power of the Holy Spirit? And when you grow weary, when you are really not list to get out of bed anymore in September, may you then lean more on the power that is in you, which is the same power that was in Jesus Christ. It was the same power that rose Him from the grave. May the power of God get you through to December with that six-pack, with that book finished, with that prayer life hotter than ever before, with your Bible knowledge kind of exploding out of your brain. And may you get to the end of the year going, yes, Lord, You have resolved to help me grow closer to You. You have resolved to glorify Your name even more this year. And thank You that You've counted me worthy. So at the end of this year, may you remember that you are fully justified through the gift of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that gift, God has counted you worthy of His sanctifying work and calling. And when you serve Him, remember to serve Him out of gratitude, not obligation, or to earn your salvation. And then know that He will fulfill every resolve, every desire for the good, and every work of faith by His power. And in so doing, at the end of 2017, God's name would be even more glorified in and through you. Amen. Let's pray together. God, firstly, we want to thank you so much that you have counted every person worthy here. Every person in this room this morning is completely counted worthy and part of God's team. But maybe you're here this morning and you know that you're not, that you've not accepted this gift of salvation that we're talking about. But you would love to be counted worthy and be part of God's team. You would love to see His power working in your life. Could I encourage you just to briefly raise your hand and say, yes, I want to be part of God's team. Thank you for those hands. Lord, we are so grateful for the hands that are going up. Of people saying, yes, Lord, I want to be part of your team. I want to be counted worthy again this year. I want to see your power work in and through my life for your glory and your name's sake. And so help me, Lord. And so if you raised your hand, maybe you just want to repeat this prayer after me in the quietness of your own heart. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much for your gift of salvation. Thank you that you've forgiven my sins and that you've nailed all my shame to the cross of Calvary, and that today I may be counted worthy. Today I am part of your team, and I want to thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. And then for the rest of us here this morning, may the Lord work powerfully in your life this year. May every good desire be fulfilled in you. May every good work be worked out in you to the glory of God. And may others see our good works and give glory and praise to God the Father. And as we close our service this morning, we've chosen the song, Come to Me. I am all that you need. Come to me, I am your everything. I am the Lord your God. May you celebrate that song this morning, knowing that the Lord your God is with you and that He will fulfill what He has called you to do for His name's sake at all cost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.